Welcome, everybody, to the Strip Rip Dip Ship.
Yeah, that's right.
No, welcome, everybody, to the Strip... Oh, I said it again.
The Strip Rip Dip Ship. I think that's the name. I think you got it right.
Welcome, everyone, to the Rippin' Strips Podcast. I'm L-Dog.
I'm Corn Dog.
And here we are.
And just here we are.
Chill and hang out and shoot the shit. How's it going, Corn Dog?
It's going pretty well. Yeah, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Do you ever, whenever I'm with, I take Uber a lot, and when I'm with a Uber driver, especially if there's something big in the news, I just like to see what your average Joe thinks about it.
Yes.
You know, sometimes it can be a mistake, but even when it's a mistake, it's kind of interesting. So, you know.
Yes, yes.
I was riding in an Uber recently, and, you know, Biden just dipped out of the race.
He did?
Yeah. And endorsed Harris, and now Harris, I guess, is the nominee or going to be the nominee.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to know what this guy thought. You know, this could go many ways, or maybe he right. doesn't even think about it.
Right.
So he first started he immediately went off subject and started talking about, like, yeah, you know, the Google, like, the government's, like, monitoring us, man. They're controlling us, and
okay.
you don't even know
I
it.
Love where this is going.
Those, you've seen those Google cars, right? They're recording everything, every crack in every cement. They're recording it because they want to store that. And I was like, I mean, that's kind of true, I guess. But.
Yeah, I Google Street View, yeah.
And then he goes, yeah, when I was a kid growing up, I saw so many UFOs leaving out of... there's a base by, what's it called? Catalina Island.
Yes.
There's a secret base back there. Yeah, they got all kinds of UFOs. They want you to think it's like a military base, but it's not. It's UFO.
Yes.
So just asking about the news can get you.
This is awesome.
Some real entertainment.
So did he talk about Biden at all, or was it just UFOs?
No, dude, he went right to all that shit.
That
he
is
said,
awesome.
He said he hopes Harris doesn't go with the woke agenda, or that she isn't, she leaves the woke agenda or whatever.
Okay. Yep. That sounds about right for that.
I actually don't remember which one it was, because I was like, I don't know. She seems pretty conservative to me.
Oh, man. Wow. Well, maybe that's why he got pulled in by all that alien talk on the right. He's like, yeah, we gotta stop.
Yeah, I kind of loved the conversation, but oh, and he said, he called somebody, what was it? Oh, this is bad. He called them a sub Nord or something. He just threw a weird word out there in the middle of his diatribe. And I was like, what's that? And he goes, I'm glad you asked. Thank you for asking that.
Oh,
I like to make up
out.
Words.
Yes.
And then he goes... But this was kind of horrifying, because then he was like, yeah, so, you know, the white supremacists, like, you know, most white people aren't actually white. It's just the Nordic people. But the other people are, you know, I don't know. He was just he was basically saying, okay, you're sub-Nordic. He was calling this guy, who I guess he thought was racist, but his way of getting back was to become racist.
right.
And I told him that. I was like, well, I don't know, you're just kind of turning into that. He's like, right on, man, see, you know what I'm saying. I was like, yeah.
Oh, that's incredible. I remember I had a guy who was doing work at my place, and he was telling me that submarines go into the Hoover Dam. And if you actually know, there's from Malibu, there's a secret tunnel that goes all the way into the Hoover Dam that submarines go into all the time, and there's a secret base on the other side of the Hoover Dam. And this is what he straight up believes.
It's like the least practical thing in the world.
I know. It's so impractical that you'd never suspect it. Well,
yeah. Yeah, I guess not. Wow.
And then last time, I actually... Not last time. I've been in some really nice, quiet Ubers sets. But I got back from the airport. I was coming back from the airport, and it was probably 11 at night. Tired. Just flown with my dog for the first time, which was, you know.
Was the dog in the cabin with you? Or
yeah, in the kennel.
Oh, nice.
It's a little, like, you got to carry a bunch of shit. It's a little more stressful. You know what I mean? Only an hour flight, but it was like, it was a lot. Anyway, getting this Lyft and, or Uber or whatever. And the woman's like, you know, I'm going to take my time. 'Cause you know, I'm a grandma. So, and you always want to be with someone who's a mom, or especially a grandma, when you get picked up, because they make sure that they are going to get you home safe. That's what a mom or a grandma always does. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, that's kind of sweet and charming, you know? Okay, great. She goes, yeah, you're lucky. I picked you up. We're like, yeah, I know, 'cause you're a grandma. And she goes, no, because the Chinese are taking over Uber. And we're like, what? Just, they have their own app all in Chinese, and it pushes them first front in the line. You can look it up. Just Google it. The Chinese are taking over, and they're immigrating into this country from Mexico. And it's just, she's just like,
dude,
starts railing on all Chinese immigrants, which is like, this is an interesting take. She seemed Latina. So it was like,
yeah, my guy was Latino too.
Yeah. And it's just like, you can look it up. Hey, I just found it. I spend hours on YouTube. I'll send you the video. It's like, that's not okay. you know, I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah, it's like, sucks to even jump into the conversation sometimes. I mean, with my guy, it was like a 5-minute trip, and it was.
This sounds funny. Fascinating.
And he seemed like he thought I just was eating it up, which I wasn't. I was actually pretty kind of arguing with him, but I guess at the end of his ride, he's like, hey, man, great conversation. He was like all pumped about it. Wow, what a great conversation, man. Have a good one.
Oh, man, I've had some really fun. I mean, I'm, you know, honestly, I'm all for it. I want to hear people's crazy theories, you know, especially if I have the energy. And you don't need much from me. I can just kind of sit back and listen to the crazy shit you're talking. I'm all for that.
Yeah, and I think they're leaving stuff out, you know?
Like, yes.
Sometimes I feel like, well, I don't know. Our stories just now are pretty crazy. But that guy might be leaving something out of his story that would make it seem a little less crazy. Same with your lady. Like, maybe Chinese speakers have a Chinese language app that boosts them in the Uber app.
I don't doubt that.
Would make sense to
no,
me.
No, I know.
Like, I could believe that.
I could
believe
that.
But her
that,
way
yeah.
of saying it, like the Chinese are.
Right, and, right, right,
yeah,
right,
she's
right.
She's like all spinning out of control.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, there's like little pieces where you go, yeah, okay, I could see that. That sounds interesting. And then it just goes into this big piece of like, whoa, you're taking that and running with it. But yeah.
And same with the border thing. Like, maybe that is true, but why do you give a fuck about that?
Right.
Like, what does that have to do with?
Right.
Actually, no, that makes no fucking sense. Why would a Chinese person, like, they're illegal immigrants?
Yeah. Yeah, they're coming into this country in way. It's like you know.
Maybe actually.
Well, yeah, but if you're someone who's from Central or South America, maybe even fifth generation, I don't know. Seems like if that's like, you know, your heritage, you would be sympathetic to the immigrants who are coming in through Central or South America, no matter where they're from.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, or I don't know if I guess it's a statement of everyone in the U.S. If you should be sympathetic because you at some point were probably in your family was probably an immigrant of some sort that came to this country.
Yeah, that's the crazy. It's what a weird fucking world. Like,
yeah,
I can't even say anything else because, yeah, I agree with you. It actually immigrant. Not, yeah, I guess we're another serious episode, but immigration's good for the economy. People are mistaken. That's actually more of a workforce.
Right.
Being more productive and producing more, you know?
Right. Well, yeah.
And bringing the price of labor down, you know, I mean, I guess that's only good for management, but it's true.
And if there was an open border, then people could come into the country, work, and still live out of the country. So they're not taking your homes and stuck here and doing all these things that you think they're doing. They'll be still living in their country and just coming over here to work, you know. And the whole immigrant crime wave thing is scare tactic and not real. There's individual cases.
No,
yes.
Comment. Yeah, I have no idea where that comes from. It seems so extreme that surely they must be talking about something. But well, my experience with any illegal immigrant in my whole life has been they work super hard and they send their money to their family or they raise a family here. It's like all good things as far as I'm concerned. They should be rewarded.
right. Yeah.
And absolutely. I'm sure. Yeah. But yeah, if you're a criminal, that's
there's bad.
That's
instances.
The issue is that you're violent or you're a criminal.
Well, it's
not
just
that
like
you're here illegally, in my opinion.
Right. Well, it's just like people on food stamps. There are going to be some people that abuse food stamps.
But yeah. That's I've had this conversation so many times with conservatives because it's like, yeah, your counterpoint can't just be like, well, someone will commit fraud. It's like, yeah, fraud is a crime.
Right.
And people will always be doing that.
Right.
You know?
Right. It's not this widespread thing.
It's not a reason to never try anything.
1% of people are, you know, committing fraud with food stamps, so we should scrap the whole program. But anyway, what we should be doing is using our money to pay for weapons.
Yes.
Thank you. Specifically for Israel.
Are you running for president?
Yes. Yes. And for cops. Give the cops more weapons too.
Right.
All cops
tanks.
Need more. Yeah. Tanks, drones. Drone strikes should be not only legal, but mandatory. We should set
open
up.
Open border drone strikes.
Open border.
Let's do
drone
it. Yeah. Everybody gets their own drone with missiles.
Yeah. And, you know, they should do it like how we do it for CHP. They need to write so many speeding tickets a month. We need to have so many drone strikes a month for each police department, or else they get like docked their pay.
There's something there creatively, because that seems like that's how it works. Like our military spending, like, oh, we have to figure out where to who to bomb.
Yeah.
There's got to be someone worth bombing somewhere. We'll figure it out.
You know, if only there was a Godzilla, that would make, you know, I'd be all behind our military spending.
Against Godzilla?
Yeah. Assuming Godzilla was bad at that time.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes he's a good guy.
Sometimes he's a good guy. Well, sometimes Kong is a good guy too, you know?
Well, I was going to say, I think Kong is pretty low expense, you know, relatively speaking.
Like, yeah. I think we have so many weapons we could vaporize Kong in like 15 seconds.
That's true.
And same with Godzilla. I mean, how do we not just drop a nuke on his head?
Well, he represents nukes.
Right.
Oh, I think actually the real answer is he absorbs that power or something.
He absorbs nuclear radiation and then he spits it out of his mouth.
Yeah, I'm kind of filling in blanks, but I think that's why that wouldn't work. Also, he's in the middle of the city, of downtown, you know.
Right.
Usually
yeah.
When, by the time they get their head around what's going on.
That's true. Dang it. We got to figure out a way to defeat Godzilla. Do you think maybe people, like executives at like Raytheon and stuff at night, just like go to bed and just like, please bring us one Godzilla so we can make so much money?
That's interesting. 'Cause, yeah. All right. Have you heard of the Gateway Tapes? The CIA Gateway Tapes?
No.
I just was trying to watch like some, you remember Coast to Coast AM? It was all about UFOs and stuff.
Yes.
I was watching some YouTube version of that. It's pretty, I may even want to show you it later. It's pretty funny.
Sounds fantastic.
Because the guy is so like theatrical. Uh-huh. And he's got like a weird necklace on. He's like, one night.
Oh, but, I love that.
But the Gateway tapes are this declassified thing where a researcher at the CIA did this whole, you know, spent a lot of money doing research and doing studies, and meaning, you know, real experiments with real people and stuff like that. And he wrote this whole instruction manual on syncing your left and right brain. And once you can sync your left and right brain in a certain way, you can actually have an out-of-body experience. You can travel through time in your mind, and you can see the future.
What?
And it's real. I mean, I don't know if that is real, but it's real that he wrote this.
Right.
And you start off.
Whoa.
And all I know is that you start off because, you know, your ears are. Well, first of all, you know, the left brain is more like organizational and the right brain is more creative, or vice versa. I forget.
No, that's right.
And
I know your ears are close to your brain. Yeah.
Your ears connect to both sides of your brain. Like one is on one side, one is on the other. So how you start to hemisync is you put headphones on and the right ear does one frequency, the left ear does a different frequency, and together they create like a new sound, but you can only hear it. Your eardrums cannot process it because the frequency is too high. But if you use both ears, your brain can like sync up completely and become whatever, cohesive.
Hemi-linked or whatever.
Hemi-linked in order to hear this certain sound. And from there, I mean, there's steps, there's a lot of tapes to listen to, but you practice and practice and practice, and you've been eventually become a god. Or you can see the future or whatever.
Whoa. That is very interesting. I don't know what about syncing up your organizational brain and your creative brain would, how that would make you be able to see the future.
Yeah, that's the thing is, it all sounds awe-inspiring or what's intriguing, I guess. But what I just told you is like almost nothing, you know? There's nothing to grasp onto. Like, right. Okay, so what?
Right, right.
Other than time travel. But even that, I have a hard time understanding what that.
Right. What is time travel? You can remember stuff?
Yeah, so we all can do this and it's out on a tape that we can all try for free.
Right.
It seems like not true.
right, exactly.
I think I'm going to try it.
I would love for you to try it.
Or is the CIA trying to trick me?
Into what?
Into controlling me.
You think maybe the CIA is actually...
It's going to control my mind and make me pants RFK at Barry's not far.
Oh my God, that's it. Wow, you got to try it, dude. You got to do it. You got to do it. You got to become part of it. It's part of your destiny to pants RFK Jr. at Knott's Berry Farm.
Wait, how did I know that? Yeah, and it's trippy too because this guy was like, the guy who wrote it, who's supposedly a scientist, he had a job at the CIA and he was put as head of this huge, I don't know how much it costs. I keep wanting to say millions of dollars thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it costs money.
Yeah.
And he was in charge of it at the CIA. And he was saying, we're actually all, matter doesn't exist. We're all like energy. And we actually all are kind of part of the same consciousness. And, you know, when we die, we become part, blah, blah, blah.
This guy just did DMT. That's what it sounds like to me.
Or done DMT some... is the reality.
Maybe. Whoa. I feel like, first of all, I've probably done too many, I've done too much nitrous outside of jam band shows for my brain to ever be able to fully sync up.
Oh.
There's too many missing dead neurons up there from some $5 ice cold ones. The other thing is, to me, it just sounds like, look, I hope it's true and you have to try it. And I can't wait to ask you questions when you're time traveling on the podcast. I think that will really help us with our numbers.
The problem it's a commitment. I wish I could listen to one tape for 10 minutes and tell you. Anyway, go continue.
The other thing is to me, it just sounds like this guy's a fucking quack. which is just so impressive to me that you can be in the CIA at such a high level and be such a quack. And it's not the first time it happens. You know, there's like all these impressive institutions that
the men who stare at goats. I think that was the CIA.
Right. Right. Just like all these very impressive institutions have employed some real wackadoos throughout the years, which is like fascinating. And if you think that's bad, wait till I talk to you about the White House.
Hello. Bunch of wackadoos in there, and tell you what.
Yeah, but like, no, but like, you know, you see like J.D. Vance went to Yale Law and you're like, this guy seems like a dumbass.
You know? Oh man, yeah, as I grow older I realize, like, you know, you meet doctors, it's just like, oh wow, you're just a dude,
right?
You just read a book that I hadn't read.
Right. Right. And you just really had ambition and tried really hard to do.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a lot to be a doctor, but no, when I was younger though, you know, I guess you assume they're more wise and they're smarter and they're
right, like, well, that's why they have that
level
that,
above.
That old joke, what is it? What do you call the guy with the guy who graduated medical school with the worst GPA?
What?
Doctor.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Wow, that took a while to get out.
I know, I don't remember the wording exactly. I kind of fucked it up, but it's, I got this,
those brain cells that are left just trying to make up for lost.
Yeah,
brain cell.
Exactly. That was from, that was, that joke was held in and destroyed.
Yes, that one was held and destroyed. What's
it was held by a brain cell, which was destroyed on the night of the Grateful Dead cover band.
It wasn't the Dead.
It wasn't the actual Dead. No, it was a cover band.
You follow the cover band like across the country?
I mean, yeah. Yeah. My cousins followed Phish. They followed Humphrey McGee's.
Was it your cousin that's the city planner?
No.
That would be funny to imagine.
No, no, no. But one is a a trauma surgeon in an ER in Atlanta.
Whoa. Yeah. I hope he doesn't have a flashback randomly in the middle of work.
Oh, man.
Whoa, it's like your body parts are alive, man.
I love that. If you guys don't know the Norm Macdonald joke about flashbacks, it's the best.
Yeah.
Got
ripped off.
Yeah, he's like, I always heard about flashbacks and I'm going to butcher it. I was excited.
I said the punchline first.
Yeah. Yeah, well, should I? No.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I'll recite it. All right. I always heard about these flashbacks because, yeah, I was excited, you know? I was like, so you're telling me I give you $5 and I get high now, and then 30 years from now, I get high again for free? He's like, yeah, sign me up or whatever. He didn't say something that cringe, but you get what I'm saying. And then he goes, but that's all bullshit. You know, I spent 30 years. I haven't had no fucking flashbacks. It's all bullshit. That's just a lie the big acid corporations tell you to move their product or something like that. Yeah. Well,
not butchered at all. I laughed a lot inside.
Thanks. I really felt like Norm Macdonald for a second.
And now I will perform the moth joke. So a moth goes to a podiatrist. No, okay.
Norm Macdonald, rest in peace. He's the king. He's the king.
He really is and was.
Him and Mitch Hedberg, two of our greatest of all time.
Now, I like Mitch Hedberg a lot, but that's the other one you said? Are those your top two?
I mean, you got to put Richard Pryor up there. You got to put Carlin up there. I love Stephen Wright.
I always thought Richard Pryor was overrated.
That's fine. You just have a horrible opinion on comedy. It's fine. I'm not upset.
No, I've seen him perform, and it just...
You saw him live?
Funny. Yeah, when I was a baby. I was like, no good.
No.
Eddie Murphy, too.
You thought Eddie Murphy was overrated?
Well, the two specials where he's wearing tight, bright suits that everyone thinks are amazing, they're not.
I
he looks good. I mean, you know, and he's got stage presence.
I remember exactly where I was when I saw Eddie Murphy's Delirious. Now, I watched Carlin before. Carlin was always great. Pryor's great. I think you got to just maybe watch different specials and stuff. Yeah, I think it's also just what he did and how he paved the way and also his...
Maybe I'm being unfair to Pryor because I'm not as familiar with him, and I am semi-familiar with Toy, which is the worst film ever made.
Yeah, that's very not fair if you're judging him based on the movie.
Oh, yeah, and
Toy.
He was in that shitty Superman. He's in bad movies. He's bad in movies. Or at least the ones I saw. The Superman 3.
Oh, yeah, but when he's with Gene Wilder, he's great in movies.
I don't think I saw that.
Stir Crazy. Brewster's Millions. Is that right? Anyway. When I first saw Eddie Murphy's Delirious, I was at my friend's house. And that was one of the hardest I've ever laughed.
What joke?
The whole special.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No, oh, I can tell you jokes like him playing with his turd in the bathtub. Him singing the "I Got Some Ice Cream" song. The
a
lot of homophobic stuff in there, but you know, it was a different time. I thought that was funny too. Him talking about Bill getting notes from Bill Cosby and then talking to Richard Pryor afterward.
Even the gay stuff, I was a little kid and I thought that was juvenile.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not as funny as my friend who says gay jokes. It was like a kid.
And then Raw, it's
actually kind of awkward to see a grown man do that. Like as a little kid. Like,
yeah, I think it, yeah. Raw, when in his purple suit, I didn't think was very funny until the end when he's talking about his dad, how his dad would eat a game of Monopoly as a kid because they were so poor. He calls his dad after a fight. He got beat up in a fight. And he calls his dad, and his dad just yelling at him. That killed me. And before you get into comedy, comedy's so much funnier. So if I rewatched it now, would I think it's all just incredible and hilarious? No, probably not. But when I first saw Delirious, it blew me the fuck away.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved it. And I just also watched Beverly Hills Cop last night.
I get them mixed up. Is Delirious the purple one?
Delirious is the red one. Is the red suit. And
I might have only watched fully the purple one.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
And then I think I saw part of the red one and I didn't like it. Just looked like more of the same. So I assumed that's just Eddie Murphy's stand-up. And I was like, this sucks.
I remember even back then, because I loved the red suit one. I loved Delirious so much. And then I watched Raw and was just like, what? Or just like, this is not nearly as good until the very end. His closing bit on Raw got me, which is impressive to have a whole special that I don't like and then all of a sudden have one joke that, you know, had my high school me
rolling on
the floor.
Still had your attention to the end.
Yeah. But I was literally raffling and LMAOing.
Nice.
Yeah. It was good. It was freaking lit. But yeah, I don't know. Who's on your Mount Rushmore? You can pick four.
I was about to ask your opinion. Brian Regan, I think, is up there.
Brian Regan's phenom.
I was curious that you're paying him.
I remember first time listening to his album and watching his Comedy Central Presents.
George Carlin for sure. And you know what? I was trying to think. I knew there was someone like Carlin that I didn't like, and I thought it was Pryor because they're a little similar. But you know what? No. It's fucking...
Paul Mooney.
The guy from... I like Paul Mooney.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No. Yeah. But I guess they're kind of the same. But Paul Mooney's fucking awesome.
Paul Mooney's cool.
How dare you? He's from Texas. I can't remember his name now. Bill Hicks. People love Bill Hicks.
Yeah.
People gush over Bill Hicks. They try... I've worked for a guy who tried to show me, like, oh, check this guy. Oh, da, da, da. And I know who Bill Hicks is already, but it's like, okay, I'll watch... Ugh, it's never funny.
I've never liked Bill Hicks.
Sometimes it makes you want to go like, I'm glad but that's not
comedy.
Good stand-up comedy. Yeah. No. Yeah. But Carlin says a similar message, but he's actually, it is funny.
Right.
And you're like, and you're still like, yeah, right on. But it's like, yeah, I guess there's nothing we can do. We're fucked.
And he says it in a cooler way. I don't know.
Oh, definitely. Well, yeah. He's not angry.
Right, exactly. He's just really breaking shit down for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Carlin rocks, and I don't do political comedy. That's not my thing, you know? But Carlin, I always loved Carlin, even as a kid, which is like, I didn't give a shit about politics.
Yeah, and they're, even though it is political, it's pretty broad and hard to disagree with most of what he says. I can't think of anything that's particularly left or right wing. I mean, I gather that he's left wing, but...
Right. But he's kind of one of those, all politicians are bullshit and they're not working for us, the people.
Yeah, I would say Jon Stewart takes a similar stance where they're like left, but it's like, we're just kind of against corruption and that is everywhere.
Right.
And that's obvious and we can just kind of like call it out.
Right.
Which no one does, you know.
Right, exactly. But I bet if Carlin was still alive today, he would have a bit that was like... 7 words you can't say because of the woke mind virus.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't know. He probably would. Maybe he would have those turns. Although he got old and didn't have one of those turns. He wasn't like a Ricky Gervais. Anyway, wait, who's the next?
Well, speaking of those turns, Dave Chappelle sort of did.
Oh, absolutely.
But I think he's great, and I think he gets a worse rap than what he's ever said or what he really thinks. But, you know, he hangs out with right-wing people, whatever, but I don't care.
Yeah.
He's I don't know.
He just won't back down.
I like him, but I will admit that he's not as funny as he used to be because he's, like, too serious. But anyway, asked me for 4. I guess he would have to be the third. But you know who the weird fourth one is?
Yes. No, I don't. I mean, but yes, I'm excited for this.
Just for me personally, a guilty pleasure maybe, or just like if I want to see funny stand-up, I know I can go to Kevin James consistently.
You're not wrong. He's just absolutely fucking funny.
I really love him. I think he's, I don't know if I would say he's underrated. He's fucking rich and successful.
Well, maybe as a stand-up.
But yeah, well, overall, I don't know. Nobody thinks about him that much until he's on the screen. But you're always happy to see him, and he is funny.
He's hilarious.
I'll die saying that.
No, his stand-up before King of Queens was very funny. He's such a gifted and hilarious comedy actor. King of Queens is still on TV 24/7 on like CMT or something like that. It's like that show is... the best. Granted, Jerry Stiller and Leah Remini had a lot helped it out a lot. And Gary Valentine, Kevin James's brother. he pulled Gary Valentine along for a whole ride of a career.
Was funny, like watching them. I mean,
yeah,
good chemistry. Yeah, that show was so well made.
The show's perfect. I've watched every episode.
Me too.
And I will continue watching. It's a Seinfeld for me. I will throw that on anytime
and watch
it and love it.
Do you have a favorite episode?
Of
King of Queens.
There's one I was watching a little while ago where Kevin, I'm sorry, Doug and Carrie, they go on a work trip, I believe it is, and Arthur, that's Jerry's name, is home alone, and he is so excited to be home alone, and then he goes into Doug and Carrie's room and puts on Doug's outfit for IPS or whatever it's called.
I'm imagining it's huge on him.
It's huge on him, and he's like sitting in his bed, and he's eating like a shrimp wonton soup or something like that in the bed, watching TV, having the time of his life. And then he falls asleep and spills the soup all over himself, his outfit in the mattress. And he's trying to get Deacon to come over to help him flip the mattress before they come back. And there's soup. The soup has soaked all the way through. And he's being a huge dick to Deacon about it until Deacon's like, you know what? I'm not doing this. I'm out of here. That one was really, really good.
Deacon's great too. He's like never happy, but it's
fucking
funny how everyone just kind of, I don't know, in his face all the time.
Yeah. And God, I don't know if that's my favorite. There's so many good ones. What about you?
The one where Carrie surprises Doug with a stripper pole. I've been taking stripper lessons.
Yeah.
And she does the dance.
Oh,
and he's excited. And then it zooms in on him watching her. And he's just like, and I don't know, he kind of hates it. And then every night she wants to dance for him.
Yeah.
And after a while he's just like, okay, honey. Like he hates it, which is funny because he's like, his wife's hot and he's kind of, she's out of his league, but she just sucks at pole dancing. And at the very end of the episode, he does a pole dance and he fucking rocks it. Yes. And you can tell Kevin James actually went to a class for like 2 months at least or something.
Right.
It is so funny and unexpected. I didn't know that was going to be the resolution. And I laughed so fucking hard in that episode.
Oh, man. That one. Yes, that one is very good. That's a fantastic show.
There's something really funny to me sometimes about a super hot chick doing something silly, like having a pratfall or something.
Yeah.
Like on Good Burger. Do you remember that movie?
No.
Did you see it?
I don't know if I ever even saw it.
It's not a good movie at all, except for this one scene where, so you know, it's, what's his name?
Kenan and Kel.
Kel Mitchell is the main guy, and he's like an airheaded fast food worker.
Bro, yeah.
And I guess this chick's trying to infiltrate the fast food place to get their secret ingredients and stuff, so she goes on a date with him, but it's Carmen Electra and Kel Mitchell acting like an idiot. And so everything she asks him, like she's trying to be sexy, he's not getting it. He's just like, oh, I don't know, why would you ask that? You know, I can't think of an example, but like at a certain point he's like opening doors and it's like hitting her violently in the face.
By
the end of it, she's got like food all over. It's like, I don't even know what happened. Electrocuted. And it's like, made me laugh so damn hard. I don't even know why.
I love that cartoony fake over the top, like violence shit. That always cracks me up.
Well, it's good when it's like a serious actor doing it.
Well, and there's no more serious of an actor than Carmen Electra. She's on my Mount Rushmore of serious acting.
Me too.
Okay. I would say my Mount Rushmore of personal taste. All right. I'm gonna take, you know, the agreed upon social. You know, like, feels like you have to put Richard Pryor and Carlin up there. And then, like, you know, I don't know. God, it's so hard.
Norm. Throw Chappelle out.
Yeah. Yeah.
No diversity in my list, but sorry. Sorry, everybody, but Norm's got to take that place. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. I think you got to go Norm for sure. It's tough. It's tough, man, because, like, where do you even put, like, Steve Martin's albums are incredible. And he was the one guy who got too big. He got too famous to do stand-up anymore. And he was so good at stand-up. He started doing stand-up, got so big, he got put in movies and then in TV shows and stuff. And then his stand-up was so big that people were just shouting different bits and characters for him to do that he didn't have fun doing anymore and he had to stop. I mean, that's pretty... He's got to be in there. And it's... I love his stand-up. It's so good. Yeah, Mitch Hedberg. And it could be, Chappelle did mean a lot. Maybe Chris Rock. So funny.
Bernie Mac.
Sure. Sure. Stephen Wright.
Isn't Mount Rushmore, but he is up there. I think he's funnier than Bernie Mac, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's too hard. There's too many people that I love. I mean, Zach Galifianakis. His stand-up was freaking radical.
Stop me if I told you this, but did I ever tell you what my very first experience at a stand-up show was ever in my life?
No.
At college, they do these free events for losers who have no friends.
Yep.
But me and my friend actually did end up going to this one because it was like a free stand-up show. It was Mitch Hedberg. So he was famous actually at the time. But I don't know how they booked him, but it was like a free show in the quad. And you know who was opening for him?
Who?
Zach Galifianakis.
That's a sick show.
And Zach, and I guess my friend, my roommate knew Zach from that snowboarding movie. He's like, oh, that guy's funny.
Yeah.
But we went and Zach rocked it. I had never seen his act and he did the piano thing. It was amazing. And I never heard of this guy. Mind blowing. And then Mitch went up next and they were doing what you were saying to... they did to Steve Martin. They were shouting his own jokes at him because he was all over Comedy Central. That's kind of why everyone went there. It's like, oh, we're going to see this TV guy in real life.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Tell you do drugs still. Or
yeah.
Like ruining all his jokes.
Yeah.
And he was wasted. He wasn't very funny and he looked miserable. Like he hated that people were shouting his jokes at him.
I would bet.
And that was 6 weeks or so before he died.
Yeah.
And that was my first show I ever saw.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
That is crazy.
Because I got really into stand-up after that and moving out here and all that stuff.
And you
got
to see Hedberg. That's cool. Yeah. Regardless, you got to see the man. You got to see the freaking man. All right, top four Rushmore of sitcoms. Seinfeld, King of Queens.
I agree with those two.
Maybe it's just a two shows Rushmore.
Well, I got a third one if you don't.
What?
News Radio.
Is a great pick. News Radio is fantastic.
So reliable. I fucking love that show.
Steven Root, Phil Hartman.
Oh, yeah.
Dave Foley, Andy Everyone. Dick, Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan was...
he was lame on that show.
Yeah, he's the worst part of every show he's ever done. He's bad. He's not funny. He's never been funny.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think. I don't know. Maybe there's a gag where he's funny on that show. It's a good show.
Oh, there's gags where he's funny on the show.
But no, it's Andy Dick being funny.
Yeah.
He's the straight man, but he's not even like the fun straight man. He's like the angry dwarf.
I think Joe Rogan was funny on that show when it was like he would have like a he was kind of like the manifesto guy. He's kind of like the crazy janitor who's like, yeah, well, I got a bunch of explosives in my car right now. And then everyone would be like, what? I don't know, something like that.
That's true. And he didn't he build things?
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Yeah, that was kind of funny.
It's kind of funny.
But not, but not up to the rest of the cast.
No. Oh, of course. You're never going to be as funny as Phil Hartman. Stephen Root is one of the best character actors we've had. Super underrated, I feel like. People don't give him enough appreciation for how funny and amazing he is. He's been in scary movies. He's just an awesome dude.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like Kevin James, same thing. Like, they are successful, so maybe they do get proper credit. But, yeah, it seems like that's what a character actor is, I guess. You just don't think of them that much. But
right. If you don't know who Stephen Root is,
surprise.
Think of Office Space, my stapler guy. That's Stephen Root.
Yeah.
He's everywhere. And if you really know what he looks like, he will pop up everywhere. He's the boss in News Radio, and he's the bomb.
Yeah, and I guess Office... The Office would be the final Mount Rushmore one.
Really?
I think so. The American one, actually. Wow. I used to be hipster and say the British one was better, but after the first couple of seasons, I think the American one got really good. And then, of course, it got really bad.
Right.
It disappeared.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, Ricky Gervais has kind of had a fall from grace.
You hate him now.
Dude, have you seen his shit? Like, recently is like,
no.
His whole persona.
I mean, I know he's anti-woke or whatever.
Yeah, but. That's his whole persona, is like hating cancel culture and being so hating the woke stuff and just like going on and on. It's just like,
it's always
shut up. You're getting, you know, he's a perfect example of like, you're getting $100 million from Netflix.
And it's always the least.
You can't say anything.
It's always the least edgy people.
Right.
Who's the other person that there's? Oh fuck. Who is it? Oh, well, it's Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Have you seen him? He's everywhere talking about cancel culture. It's like, you're the most vanilla dude, and his example of a joke, that gay king joke. I mean, this is years old, but did you ever hear about that?
No. What was the joke?
He was like, oh, when you're flicking through your phone, you look like a gay king checking off a list. Ha ha. And it didn't get a laugh. Can you believe that? And it's like, yeah, it's not funny.
I kind of like it.
I don't think.
What's wrong with a gay king?
He was like, I could feel. I was in a college and I did that joke and I could feel everyone in the audience saying, oh, why has he got to be gay?
Yeah. Well, because that's. Yeah. That's probably. You just had.
I'm funnier than him. So the way I did it seemed funny, but I'm saying.
Maybe that's
it. The way he did it wasn't funny.
Yeah. It's so interesting, like watching. Seinfeld, you know,
knowing it was all Larry,
right? Right. And well, you'd say like, yeah, even people go like, you know, now they'll be like, wow, that was a real Larry David type moment. You know, people don't say that was a Seinfeld moment anymore. You know, they all say Larry David moment or Curb or whatever, because they know Larry was the whole brains behind the whole thing. And Seinfeld, he's like, people are, you know, after like season 4 or something like that, they stopped doing his stand up at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just went straight into the show. And it was so much better because his stand up that he does at the beginning of those shows, all those bits were fucking garbage.
Yeah.
They're so bad.
Yeah.
They're so bad. And I get maybe he didn't want to waste real material there or whatever, but it was just like, it was all just. Shit material.
This is a pattern I notice with people like that, and actually Ricky Gervais does this too, where now that you've been successful, now you, and I guess everyone does this and maybe it's good to some extent, but they take it too far where they're like, let me teach you about how comedy works.
Yeah.
See, I do, it's what I do.
Right.
Comedy is a part of me and I am part of comedy and here we go. And it's like, yeah, but you're not that good. Like, I don't know. You work hard and you're really well put together. You're probably more organized than most comedians, but.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not the funniest.
He's like a type of guy who irons his underwear, you know? He's,
yeah, he's both of them, yeah.
Freaking dork. Yeah.
But you know what? I can't hate. I actually have more disdain right now for Seinfeld. I can't hate Ricky Gervais. I like him too much. Maybe because I listened to his podcast where he had Carl Pilkington.
Oh, yeah.
That made me really like him. And it was funny. Make me think he doesn't take himself too seriously.
It was very funny. I think if you watch his specials now, I don't know if he's still doing any podcasts or anything like that, but he has gotten really, I don't know. I will say
I never loved his stand-up. I guess you are a stand-up, so maybe that's what you focus on, but.
It's his whole persona now. It's just his whole persona. You know, it's just like Seinfeld. It's just like, if you just shut up, talked about any fucking thing else, then it would be fine. And Chappelle, too. Just shut up.
Do we have any
Ripley's?
Ripley's, believe it or not.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Let me get this thing out. All right. Poof. What a debate. Okay, I got two, actually. No, I'm going to read this one. This one's better. I'm only going to read one. Sorry, all you Ripley's heads out there, but this one has one fact that's so stupid, I can't even bear the fact. I can't even bear reading it. Okay, I'll read it. The horned boxfish is distinguished by two long horns protruding from its head. Yeah, no shit. That's why it's called a horned boxfish. Okay, so this one is the first fact. Isn't great, but here we go. It's estimated that birds eat between 400 to 500 million tons of insects annually.
Each bird?
No, birds.
Oh,
collectively.
Cool.
I don't know how they do that. I don't know how they make that estimate.
They weigh them.
Cutting open birds' stomachs?
Yeah.
Or dissecting their poop? I don't know. Plus, all birds don't eat bugs. Some birds are...
It only counts the ones that do, because they know which ones do.
400 to 500 million tons annually. That's too big of a... That's too much. I can't comprehend that. It's probably like 1/30th of the trash in the ocean, if that.
Sounds right. Sounds like you can fathom it.
Okay, here's the next fact. I'm ending with a really awesome one. Not to build it up too much, so forget I said that. All right, fact two. Right. Kelly of Maine owned a cat named Jasper that was hairless and eyeless.
What? I believe it.
I believe it too. Okay, here's the last one that could be good or not. I'll never tell. In 2024, Tavia Woodfork gave birth unexpectedly at a Golden Corral restaurant and decided to include Corral in her baby's legal name.
Oh my God. That's a good one.
Isn't that incredible?
Corral. What in the world?
So that baby, I mean, the woman's name is Woodfork. That's her last name. Corral. Coraline.
Woodfork's kind of a nice name for someone who eats at Golden Corral. God, that place is gross.
Can you imagine giving birth there? That's sick. That is a blessed baby.
Yeah.
I hope the baby hit the sneeze guard.
Yeah, got spanked with a spatula.
Took it over to the pot roast section so the chef could cut the umbilical cord.
Right. Got anointed in the chocolate fountain.
Yeah. Coraline's got to be the baby's name, right?
Got to be. With two R's? I don't know. Carol. I guess you could just make it Carol.
Carol. Corral. Yeah, but it's Corral. Really,
yeah, it's got to be Coraline.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are your unbelievable facts.
Wow.
I bet that she's not, you know, even though that's a fun story, I bet it's not the first woman who has ever given birth at a Golden Corral. That seems like a place where people, no judgment, have given birth.
Yeah. It seems like a place where a lot of the people in there are eating their second meal. Like they eat breakfast, they kind of wait until lunchtime, and
well, this is exactly.
When you're spending that much time there, when you're pregnant, it's bound to happen.
Well, you go around 10, you eat breakfast, and then you're done, say, around 11. You're right real close to lunch. Might as well just hang out for an hour, you know, kind of nurse a bowl of meatballs or whatever and wait and get ready for lunch.
Oh, you're snacking before, in between?
Yeah. But this is what you don't know, Logan, is that she wasn't eating at Golden Corral. Her water broke, and she had her husband drive her to Golden Corral. Quick to Golden Corral.
Yeah, well, did she want to go there, or was he's like, I just ordered.
Can
we'll
you
go
order?
We'll go there on the way.
We'll stop on the way.
If it's anything like what's that Burbank one mean?
Coral Cafe.
Oh, Coral Cafe, yeah.
No,
anything like Coral Cafe.
Golden Corral's a buffet.
Right.
So
Coral Cafe have a buffet? I would almost think so. They had so many variety of
They did.
Food.
They just have a 75-page menu. Coral Cafe, shout out to them. That was a place that kept us alive in our 20s. We would go and eat there all the time. It was right by our place where we used to live together in Burbank. And we would order takeout from there. We would eat at the restaurant. We tried to give the delivery drivers, we tried to get them to smoke a bong.
Oh, I wasn't there for that one.
You weren't? And I've been multiple times.
Maybe.
I don't know if they ever did. Maybe gave him a beer.
Yeah, maybe you get his offer tonight. Forgot about it.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a magical diner. It's still open today. Please go there and enjoy the beauty that is Coral Cafe.
And with that, you want to rip some strips?
Let's rip them, baby. So you won last week, right?
That's right.
So that means you go first.
Yes, it does. So last week I won with Savage Chicken.
What a shitty name.
Hey.
Hey, it's a winner.
You're a shitty name. All right. I picked two and I'm deciding which one right now. I'm going to tell them both, actually.
Okay, great.
The first one. No, I'll just say this one to compete, and then I'll tell you the other one after. All right, so it's two panels. In the first panel, it says Couchbot 2000. That's like the title. And there's two chickens looking at this robot, and the robot's a box with like a telescope for an eye and a big smile on his face and an antenna. It looks pretty cute. And he's just watching TV with his telescope eye. And one chicken says to the other, it watches TV, so I don't have to. And then the next panel, same robot, same position, watching the TV with a big smile on his face. And he's just saying, kill me.
I didn't see that. That is great. I like that one a lot. I like that one a lot. Shit. All right, today I'm bringing in Chuckle Bros, another awesome name for a comic. And this is a man sitting at a desk of a talk show, like a late night talk show. It says Late Night with Nigel Forrester, right? And so the guy sitting, the guest, is in doctor scrubs that are all torn up. One arm, one sleeve is ripped off, one leg is kind of ripped off. There's a hole in the other leg. He's got a scar on one leg, scar on his right arm. His right hand is bandaged up. Looks like he's missing some fingers. He's got gauze around his head as well as like that metal thing that doctors wear that reflect.
Right.
And then a band-aid on his face and stuff. And the host says, and we're back with Gary Wilcox, who claims that he is the first man to successfully neuter a grizzly bear in the wild. Yeah, we know which one to win. We know which one.
Yeah.
Wait, why don't you save that one for
Savage
next week?
Savage Chickens.
Or are you going to read it again? You feel so confident you're going to burn another good one.
This one's not as good. I'm gonna burn it.
Okay. Wow.
Three panels, but I guess I want to share it. I don't know. Three panels. So it's a chicken talking to a dog, and the dog is, I guess the chickens are people, and the dogs are just dogs.
Of course.
But
I know.
The chicken, but it's a cute dog with his tongue out. And the chicken says, "You're my best friend, Noodles." And in the second panel, he gives him a hug. And in the third panel, the dog is thinking, "I can't believe this jackass called me Noodles." I don't know. It's not as funny as the other one, but it made me laugh.
Yeah, pretty good. Chicken and noodles. Chicken noodle soup. Wow.
Oh. I didn't even get that.
I don't know if that's it was meant. I don't know. Anyway, let's see if Savage Chicken can bring it again next week and have another amazing victory with a hilarious
punchline,
gut busting punchline. You'll have to tune in next week to find out. Until then,
keep gripping,
keep ripping, and keep stripping.